I couldn't hear everything that Brother Bill said, but I did hear him reading the out of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. There's a time for every season under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die. Now the absolute takes over to that, and he tries to say that God has set a certain time for everything to happen. And that scripture don't say it's a fit, it's a set time. Now you know that it's a time to plant. Wouldn't a farmer be foolish to plant his cotton in the wintertime? Not a certain minute and a certain day he's got to plant, but God has fixed things where there's a time to plant. There's a time to gather that which is planted. That's in the fall, isn't it? Now, there are other crops that you plant in the wintertime, but there's a time for that. When he says there's a time to be born and a time to die, that don't mean God says a certain time that you're going to die. And some drunk gets in a car and runs over you and kills you, that God predestinated that man would get drunk and run over you and kill you. But there's a time to die. Every one of us are going to die. You say, well, Brother Tarsh, don't tell us about it. I look around and I see and I think about all the faces and all the... When I come to meetings like this, I think about all the precious white-headed saints that used to sit right over there in that seat, and them that sit out there. The old brethren, white-headed, sitting over here. They're not here anymore. They're gone. That tells me something. It don't take a smart man to figure it out. If they're all gone, we're going to soon be gone. There's a time to die. Time to be born. You know when the time to be born? 9 months after conception. That's usually, that's the time to be born. But now, it all always happens exactly like that, does it? But it does say it's a set time for all these things, that God has set a certain time for each one of these things to be and to take place. But we know, and if we knew the times, time to speak, time to keep your mouth shut, if we knew that and we went by that, I think we'd be a lot better off in this world. Sometimes we speak when we ought to shut up. Sometimes we don't speak when we should speak up. There's a time for everything. And that's another sermon. That's not what I was going to talk about today, but I heard Brother Bill reading that. I want to talk about a certain character in the Bible this morning. And that character's name is Nicodemus. How many of you have heard of Nicodemus? Nicodemus, he's mentioned in only one of the Gospels. And that's the Gospel of John. And Nicodemus is mentioned in the Gospel of John 3 times. In the 3rd chapter of John, in the 7th chapter of John, and in the 19th chapter of John, Nicodemus is mentioned. So let's read. When we first find out this character comes on the scene, and it tells us a whole lot about him in the first 2 or 3 verses of the 3rd chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That tells us a lot about him, doesn't it? He was a Pharisee. It tells us his name was Nicodemus. It tells us that he was a ruler of the Jews. He sat on that old Jewish Sanhedrin court when people tried people and judged people under the Jews under the Jewish economy, under the Old Testament. He was one of those judges on the Sanhedrin court. He was a ruler of the Jews. And this man named Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. 2nd verse. And he said unto Jesus, Rabbi, that means a teacher, You say, well, now that's good. He called Jesus a rabbi, but he didn't call him Lord, did he? You know why he didn't call him Lord? He didn't know he was the Lord. If you'd have been in Nicodemus' place and you had wanted to know something about him and you come to him, you wouldn't have called him Lord either. You know why? Because you had to have a revelation from God that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Lord. You remember when he asked his own apostle, says, whom do ye say that I am? And the apostle Peter said, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, said, blessed, you are blessed, Peter. Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That means son of Jonah. Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter couldn't brag about knowing what he knew about Jesus, could he? But Jesus told him, you are blessed. And I want to tell you here today, if you know Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and walked on this earth, and he was God manifest in the flesh, then you're an unbeliever. You're just an unbeliever. He called him rabbi. He said, a teacher. Knew something about him. He said, I'm going to tell you what I know about you, rabbi. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Let's see. Did he say teacher? Yeah. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, Nicodemus was a smart man. He knew that an ordinary man out here just couldn't do things like Jesus was doing except God be with him. And it sounds like a wonderful compliment, doesn't it? It sounds like maybe Jesus ought to have said, you come to me after the service, you know, and pat me on the back and say, Robert, that's the best sermon I ever heard. You're the best preacher I've ever heard. I know you couldn't preach like that except God be with you. Brother, I'd swell up like a big balloon and probably burst. Jesus didn't swell up. These are wonderful compliments. We know that thou art a teacher. You come from God. How do you know it? Because you're doing miracles that I've seen. And no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, you would think Jesus would have said, you're a pretty good fellow, Nicodemus, to recognize that, compliment me like that. But you know what Jesus said to him? Looked like he changed the subject, doesn't he? Look what he said to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly. That's what verily, verily always means. When you see verily, verily, that means truly, truly. I say unto thee, except thou be born again, thou cannot see the kingdom of God. Wait a minute. Nicodemus didn't say anything about that, did he? But he told Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, that except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You know what I believe? And I know that Jesus, it tells us in the previous chapter, that Jesus needed not that any man tell him about any other man because he knew what was in man. And he knew what was in Nicodemus. If you read the last few verses of the previous chapter, it says he knew what was in man. And he knew what was in Nicodemus. And he knew what Nicodemus was proud of. He knew what Nicodemus probably gloried in. All the Jews seem to do this. In his birth. You remember in the 8th chapter of John, it tells where Jesus told them, if the Son, that is the Son of God, if Christ sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You know what those Jews said to him when he said that? What do you mean, set us free? We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. You know what? You know what those Jews were bragging on? They were bragging on their birthright. They were bragging on the fact that they could go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you know the Apostle Paul, who is us Gentiles, I don't guess we've got a Jew here today, an Israelite, but us Gentiles, we're not, they never were too proud of their birthright, were they? We could have traced our birthright back. Only place we can go is to Adam. And what did Adam do? Adam brought sin into the world. And everybody that's born after Adam is a sinner. Now, the Jews were too. But they thought because they were the chosen nation of God, came up through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Abraham was chosen, Isaac was chosen, Jacob was chosen, the tribes of Israel were chosen, that was a chosen nation of people, and God blessed them above all other nation of people, and they were proud of their birthright, and God knew that was what was the dearest and dearest and most precious thing in Nicodemus' heart. And he told him, said, you've got to be born again. That birth you got from Abraham, that birth you got that came through the lineage of David, that birth that you came down through and came through your ancestors is not going to permit you to see the kingdom of God. Now the Jews thought, now see, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. What they didn't know that they were in a bondage to sin right then. They needed to be set free from their sins. I'm sure and hope and pray that every person here today knows that you need to be set free from your sins. I hope you're not like those Jews that we never were in bondage to any man. You might not have been. They were slaves even to the Roman government at that time. The Roman authorities had a power over them and they were slaves to them. They were in bondage to slavery, as it were, because the Roman authorities had power over them. The Roman government, the Gentiles, had captured that city and they were in charge. We were never in bondage to any man. That's bragging a little, isn't it? Were you ever in bondage? Let me tell you, every last one of us here today, we're slaves to sin. You know why? Because we're kin to Adam. By one man sin entered in the world, death by sin, death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And don't try to get around the fact that you're kin to Adam by trying to learn some of this education they're trying to give our children in school now that we come from a monkey. That ain't true. They wish it was true, and if they could get that to be true, then they wouldn't have to answer to God as sinners in this world. If we just creatures come up from the sea and just evolved on up from monkeys or something like that. But man was made in the image of God. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. And you didn't come the monkey ride. I don't care how smart a professor he is. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. God has made them to be foolish. And they're without excuse because the heavens declare the glory of God. All you've got to do is look out into the sky on a starry night and then just watch and wait till the sun rises in the morning. Then watch it till it goes across the sky and sets in the west. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Night unto night uttereth speech, and day unto day showeth knowledge. So that no man is without an excuse. He can't excuse himself when he stands before God and say, I didn't know. Because even nature out here itself testifies that there is a God. You're without excuse. Man wishes he could come from a monkey. Then he would die. He'd die like a monkey. He'd be gone. But you're not a monkey.
you're human beings.
We know that thou to teach you come from God. No man can do these miracles thou do except God be with him. Jesus immediately spoke unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. That birth you've got, that Nicodemus, that you're so proud of, is not going to permit you to enter the kingdom of heaven. That birth that you've got there is not going to permit you to even see the kingdom of heaven. Those Jews were blinded when Christ came in this world. They were all wrapped up in that legalistic law service. They were blinded when Christ came. Nicodemus saying to him, here's what Nicodemus, that was a mystery to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? See, he understood the natural, didn't he? He understood his natural birth. How can it be? You mean to tell me, Jesus, that I've got to go back in my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus wasn't teaching that, was he? But that's all he could understand is the natural. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when Paul come along later and said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, it's a foolishness to him. This was foolishness to Nicodemus at this time. It was foolish to him. Neither can he know him because it's spiritually discerned. No wonder you need a spiritual birth. Because that, as long as you don't have that spiritual birth, you're a natural man. And the natural man receiveth it not. It's a bunch of foolishness to it. I said this not long ago. Was in a meeting where some woman jumped up in the middle of a preaching service like we're talking about this morning. Jumped up in the middle of it and run out of the church and said, that's the biggest bunch of foolishness I've ever heard. She just was a witness against herself, wasn't she? The Bible says it's foolishness to them that perish, but unto them which are saved, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I hope I'm not doing a bunch of foolishness up here, and I don't believe I am to those who are spiritual. But if you're here today and preaching and hearing the gospel of the Son of God talking about a new birth, I hope you're not natural. I hope you don't think you've got to go the second time in your mother's womb and be born. Jesus tells him in the next verse after he asked him all these questions, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and even and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now that water there, I don't believe it's natural water. I believe you remember that Jesus said that he's going to say in the same book, he said, he that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said. Now, a lot of people say, I believe in Jesus. A lot of people say, I believe there was a man named Jesus. I believe there was a man that was born of Mary called Jesus. I believe he was a good man. I believe he was an honest man. Well, he wouldn't even be honest if that's all he was, because he claimed to be God. How do you know, Brother Torch, he claimed to be God? Because he told Thomas, said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's claiming to be God, isn't it? Thomas, have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's claiming to be God, isn't it? Well, if he wasn't God, if he wasn't the Father, if he was just a good man, as some people say, he was the biggest storyteller that's ever been in this world. And he couldn't have been a good man going around telling big stories like that, could he? But he didn't tell a story. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Truth. Nothing came out of his mouth but truth. And he said, he that believeth on me, as the Scriptures have said, Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, you say, Brother Tom, don't go to the natural now. If you go to the natural, it'll mess you up. The next verse says, tells you what that living water that out of his belly shall flow is. Don't stop reading when you read just one verse. It says, this he spake of the Spirit that should be given unto them, which was the Holy Ghost. These men had already been born of the Spirit, but they had not received that which they received on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down and filled them with the Holy Ghost. And then that was saying came to pass that Jesus had already told them about, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit that should be given to them. I've heard some say that water there, and I'm talking about learned men, men that know a lot more than I do, claim that water is the, you know, except a man be born of the water that breaks in a woman's womb when she has a baby naturally. She got to be born naturally and then be born of the Spirit. But a man's not going to be a man unless he's already been born of the flesh, is he? Except a man be born again. Born again. Born from above. That's what it means when over there when Paul said, Jerusalem, which is above. Now this is not natural. If you think of natural, you think about that natural Jerusalem over yonder in Palestine. This is not talking about natural Jerusalem, that city. Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. You know, don't expect to go to heaven now. When you get to heaven, meet a woman up there, standing up there, named Jerusalem. That's just another way of saying being born from above. Born from heaven. Born of God. Well, you say, if he told Nicodemus he must be born again, would that Nicodemus' responsibility go out and born himself again? No. I don't care what you try to do. You can't born yourself again. You say, well, what did Jesus tell him he must be born again for if he couldn't born himself again? And nothing he could do to born himself again. It must happen to you, but you can't produce it. Mama and Daddy produced your natural birth, but only God can produce this spiritual birth. Nicodemus was just as astonished, probably some of you are here today, hearing about it. How can these things be? How in the world can it be? Well, Jesus told him how it was. Marvel not at this. Don't be astonished. Marvel not at this, that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, the wind blows where it listeth. That word listeth means where it pleases. The wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof? I remember when I was a boy, there in our house, and the windows and the houses weren't sealed up tight like they are now. You could hear that old wind blowing around the corner of the house in the wintertime. You hear the sound thereof. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. What do you know about the wind? That's just as much as you know about the movement of the Spirit. But he's likened it, that birth that's got to take place in your heart and my heart, to the wind. The wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone. Everyone. Some people tell me that Over here in America, where we've got the gospel preached, people are born again one way. Some people say over yonder in Africa, and they're behind the iron curtain, behind the bamboo curtain, where the gospel's not preached, they got to be born some other way. Let me tell you, if it takes a preacher and preaching the gospel to bring about the new birth, then it'll take the preaching, it'll take the gospel to cause the wind to blow. Now, I've heard of a lot of hot air being blown out of some preacher's mouth, but they don't blow this kind of wind. They don't make the wind blow. And that's just as impossible for man to have anything to do with the wind blowing as it is to have anything to do with the Spirit of God. You say, Brother Thomas, I want to be born of the Spirit. How can I do that? How can I bring it about? If you want too bad enough, you already got it. If you don't want to and don't care, and you take the attitude, I don't care what that old preacher's talking about. I don't care what Jesus said. I don't care what the Bible said. If that's your attitude, most likely the wind hadn't blown on you, the wind of the Spirit that mourns people again. This Bible gives evidence of those who have been born again. It says, God is love. God is love. And whosoever loveth is born of God. Do you love God? I don't remember when Brother Ed Evans said one time he heard me say it. Said I was the only preacher he'd ever heard say it. But Lord have mercy, I believe I've heard a few say it. I love God. God is love, and whosoever loveth, if you love Him, it's because He first loved you, and He shed His love abroad in your heart by the what? Holy Ghost, which is offered to you, no, it's given to you. You can't stop that Holy Spirit from coming to you and born in you again any more than you can stop the wind from hitting you if you get out there in a windstorm. And you can't cause that Holy Spirit to come to you and born you again any more than you can get out there and cause a breeze to blow when there's not even a breeze astern. But there's one that can and one that does. Now, I'm talking to people, I hope I'm talking to a bunch of people, that the wind of the Spirit has blown upon you. And if that Spirit has blown upon you, I'll tell you what has happened to you. That same verse that Brother Bill quoted over there in the second chapter of Ephesians, the 8th verse. For by grace are you saved, through faith. You say, well, that's my part, my faith. No, it tells you, it knocks that in the head. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourself. You didn't produce it. The faith you've got is a gift of God. You appreciate a gift? I want to ask you this morning, can you believe the unbelievable? It's unbelievable that a God we haven't seen, a Christ that we haven't seen, a Spirit that we haven't seen, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Can you believe it? Jesus said while He was in the world, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me, hath, already got it, everlasting life. That's the new birth. And shall not come into condemnation. One day somebody is going to be condemned. But those that believe on His Word, not, and you can't do it by your nature. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the reason I know Peter was born of God. Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's just as true for you, little child of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're not here to talk about raising peanuts. We're talking about natural things. We're talking about things, a time for all those things. We like to talk about those things. Yesterday, I got over there talking about what's going to happen to you in this world if you live to be an old person, probably. Don't happen to everybody, but it happens to a lot of people. Go over there and read the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. It'll tell you what's going to happen to you if you live beyond your 80 years. You know what the Bible says? A man's days is 70. Threescore and ten. That's 70 years. But if by reason of strength, and I've already experienced this, if by reason of strength they'd be 80 years, that's 80. I've already passed that. What can you expect? What do we expect if a man's years is 70? Back a few years ago, that was the average man's lifespan, about 70. But now, due to the way they put them on this and put them on that and put them on all kinds of life-saving things that they've got, life expectancy is a lot greater than that. But if by reason of strength your days be 80, that's 80, what can you look for? Labor and sorrow. Labor and sorrow. Good times. Wonderful bank account with all of my retirement and all of my money and all these things I've accumulated. I'm going to enjoy them in my old age. Let me tell you. You can accumulate all you want to, but I'll tell you, one hospital sickness will take away everything you say. Don't count on money. Oh, you say, well, I'm going to count on the government. Did you know our government can't pay their debts? I don't know when China's going to make us pay up, but China's loaned us more money right now than our country could probably pay them back. Now, I don't know what they can do to us if we don't pay it when they said, pay up. Don't put your hope and trust in, I'm talking to God's little children now. You won't go wrong trusting in Him. That's the reason I believe what James said, cast all your cares upon Christ, for Christ cares for you. Aren't you glad we've got a caring God? Aren't you glad we've got one that cares for you, that loves you? What are some other evidences of those that have been born again? Let me give you a good evidence of those. Do you love the brethren? Did you just about soon to not be in a church and know brothers and sisters that have been baptized and come into the church, sing the good old song, and enjoy the fellowship one with another? Does that mean anything to you? Would you just soon it not even be? If it wasn't for my little old family and the churches that I love and the fellowship that I have with the saints of God, the church people that I have that I've come to know through Christ, I wouldn't care if the Lord came and got me right now. I mentioned this up yonder at the association. I mentioned this, that when I got word that I had cancer, it didn't scare me. Bill, my son, was there with me, and my wife was there with me, and Janie liked to climb the wall. I didn't look around and see how it was affecting her, but it didn't worry me. I've got 84 years. And God says 70, and I've already got plus 80 and going on to add four more years. What have I got to look forward to in this world? Bill told me, he says, "Daddy, it might not bother you much, but Mama's very much concerned." Janie told me later, said, "Listen, I want you to be here when I'm gone. I want you to be here long as I'm here. And I want to be, because of her, because of my little children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, I want to stay here. We've got a nature that we are of this earth, and we want to stay here as long as we can. And I'm going to take all the medicine the doctors give me, trying to fight that old cancer." But you know what Jesus said? He said, "Fear not. Don't you fear them that can kill the body." You know what I put that cancer in the category of? I put that cancer, in the category of them that can kill the body. Just the same as a man walked through that door with a submachine gun and bop, 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 and shoot old Robert down dead. I'd fear him. There's a nature about me. We fear that. Come walking up here with a bayonet ready to stick it through me. I'd fear that, sure. But Jesus said, "Don't fear them that just kill the body. And after that, there's no more they can do to you." Now, there's more they can do. They can burn you up. It won't hurt you. They can do like they did that fellow out yonder in Alabama. Tie a log chain to you and drag you up and down the street with a pickup truck. But it won't hurt you. You know why? That's all they can do is kill the body. But you know what he says after this? He says, "I'll forewarn you whom you should fear. Fear him that after he has killed the body, can also is able to kill, destroy both body and soul in hell." Jesus taught hell. He didn't tell his little children that's what they're going to get, but he says God's able to do it. And he tells his little children to fear God, who's able to do that. And I can guarantee you, if you love God, if you fear God, if you love the brethren, we know that we pass from death into life. That's the new birth. How do we know it? Because we love the brethren. Now that don't mean start loving the brethren and you'll get born again. You see, that's reverse. The birth has got to come first. Before you didn't love mom and daddy before the birth, did you? You know why you love mom and dad? Because you were born of them. Now some people don't even love their parents. That's sad, isn't it? Isn't it sad that God had to write a book and put in His Ten Commandments, "Honor thy father and thy mother"? Looks like to me that just nature itself would make everybody do that, doesn't it? But God had to put it in His book. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth." But all men don't honor their mother and their father. If you love God, if you love the brethren, if you fear God, that wind of the Spirit is blown upon you and you have been born of God. Because man by nature doesn't love him. If the preaching of the cross is to you not foolishness, if you love to hear that Jesus died Like an old, I mentioned it yesterday, I visited an old brother Johnson down yonder at Milledgeville when he was lost his mind. He was a member of that Griffin Church, and I visited him. They put him down there in the insane asylum. His mind was gone. He couldn't tell you whether it was Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. But he was singing a song. Singing a song. And I never had heard the song. I later found that song in Case's good old songs that he wrote. Well, the book about that thick with about 600-700 songs in it. Case's good old songs. I found it in there, but I had never seen this song, and I've never seen it in our book. And here's what he was singing. He couldn't sing all of it, but he just sang this over and over and over. Oh, who can be compared to him who died upon the tree? And this is my delightful theme, that Jesus died for me. An insane man, a man that didn't know his pastor when he came to see him. But he was singing about Jesus. Singing about the death of Christ on the cross. What does it mean to you? Is it just a story that's been told? Or is it something that you're holding on to and you're putting all of your faith and hope and confidence of a home in heaven beyond this veil of tears? Are you putting it all, your trust in that finished works of Christ that was accomplished at a place called Calvary? I hope you're trusting in Him. May God bless you, is my prayer.